time through a receiving mechanism can be turned into mental experience. You have a discursive thought, you write it down on paper. You have found a three-dimensional way of storing that, so that by mechanical action of picking up the book, opening it up again, eye contact, and so forth, you have translated the original time sequence into spatial artifact in time. Okay. Now, previously, and I think everybody here agrees to this, previously, the main way of translating time into space occupation was by paper. By something solidly three-dimensional, and of course this has all kinds of ramifications in that one mistakes the music notation paper for the music, or mistakes the piece of paper on which the poem, the symbols for the poem have been written, for the poem itself. Well, obviously we're in a whole new ballgame now, because through tape, film, computer functions as opposed to writing math on paper, we now have all sorts of other three-dimensional materials which can be stored and retrieved. We can look at and study all kinds of temporal processes which before we could get at only insofar as we could get them back to paper. Now, traditionally, the largest liberal arts department has been the English department. And the reason for it was not only that the glories of Milton and so forth had to be somehow represented in the university, but because the English department had a bunch of people, even though they didn't like it, and were being trained for something else, who spent most of their time teaching kids how to write English, because it was the writing of English that got the temporal sequences down in manageable form for storage and retrieval. Now, the moment that you recognize that the writing of the symbols on pages is just one of many functions, then the man who used to teach clear writing, I'm not talking about artistic writing or stylistic analysis of Samuel Johnson, the guy who taught clear writing, now becomes one of a group of guys, filmmaker, tape man, and so forth. What I'm saying is that previously we had a lot of media specialists, but they were camouflaged on the faculty side because they were teaching assistants and young people who were just waiting for the day when they didn't have to be media specialists and move on to their content specialists. You know, we had PhDs in German literature who wanted to talk about the glories of Goethe and instead were spending their time on language drill. Now, the problem it strikes me that we're hung up on here is that under the old system in which these people were camouflaged, they could be completely budgeted on the faculty side as full-time teaching equivalents. What we are now seeing is that as our role for faculty members moves more toward facilitators or enablers, and since we are looking at more of an instructional role for people in the library, now we're getting a little bit messed up about where this box what to be. And it strikes me that, I don't have the answer, but it strikes me that, as Don was indicating, that Evergreen's solution to this problem, you know, if we confront it, recognize that there is a problem there, are willing perhaps to set up new budgetary categories, tell things to legislators that they're not prepared to accept from their own college experience, we might be able to pull it off. But it strikes me that this is, you know, it's not merely a problem in semantics, it's not merely a problem in fighting for empires, it's really a way of trying to get down on paper what we really mean about the new educational venture that we're trying to.
I certainly would agree with that general conceptualization and add to it another dimension. We all come out, I'll be very inclusive on that, we all have come out of institutions that are vertical in their character. The so-called instructor, you know, he had his own little area. He locked the door, in effect, and we really didn't know what interchange did occur between him and his students. He didn't communicate with anybody. We were never really sure if he was teaching or not. That way, just to the department level, and one department doesn't know what's going on in the other department. Then you go on to the school level, and you get competition between schools, and again, there's no consultation. Very limited, real initiative on a horizontal sense in the kind of experiences that you represent at San Jose in terms of the total faculty potential down there. And we're looking here at a very different approach. We're looking at a horizontality. We are assuming an aggressive search for this kind of consultative feedback, whether it's on the testing, whether it's on the the skills needed to produce materials, the use of materials, even the ideation for new materials that can't even be conceived. We're assuming this, we're telling everybody that comes here on faculty that this is the kind of an institution we're talking about, and these will be the kinds of responsibilities that we want you to assume. And we're not only that, we're even asking them to write it, going back to English, they not make a film on it, but to write down what they think we're trying to do, and then tell us how they think their experiences will enable them to work here and do it. To try to make absolutely certain that they aren't depending on our words, then they're depending on their own. So, but I think we have a real hang up here because of the historic structure, the vertical versus the horizontal. So I go back to what Bob said, putting a box in somewhere, as we're just discussing this, won't ensure that it's going to happen. It's got to be a point of view, it's got to be a fundamental attitude throughout the whole of this population, which includes both faculty, students, administration, and anybody else that's around. Now, this is an openness, I think, to suggestion and consultative relation that just does not exist on most campuses. Yeah. And it's got to exist here if we're going to establish the kind of education community we're talking about.
I think this, you know, this last three quarters of an hour's discussion has made the whole damn two-day meeting worthwhile. And I'm not sure that this isn't a pretty good place to call an end to it. Although, if you want to keep on wrapping, you know, we can keep right on going, or we can come back together this afternoon.
Just one little thing. I suggested yesterday, if you do some, when you're ready, you do some dry running. So you try out this kind of a thing within the group, with any of us that might help you, to try out what we're talking about. Until you experience it, it isn't going to really show what it can do, really. So I hope maybe during the summer or so, when the deans are ready, or a couple of faculty members, without faculty members, you have a dry run. Do a simulation problem for yourselves, fellas, on how you plan for instruction and what it involves in time and what kind of resources you may need. Go down to the point where you say, this is the stuff we need, even though you don't make anything or find any books or anything, try it out.
Well, I'm going to take the consultants down to the Jacaranda Hockaranda for lunch, and I'm going to bring them back here for 2 or 3 hours of work, and then we call it quits. Anybody wants to come back and sit in with us this afternoon as well? Charles? Oh, Dave, I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, I sure appreciate their willingness to give us time and apologize, because I think probably the deans in different phases are going to be locked in the room over there being hammered away on budget. You'll have the arm on me.
Back to reality.
Yeah. We'll be consulting widely, though, I'll tell you.
Charles, do you have any?
Say thanks, and hopefully be soon.
Joe?
Well, I can agree to let this go. I quite agree that the last three quarters of an hour have been terribly productive, and I think we've begun to deal with issues that, for me, are kind of central ones. One of the most important comments made, I think, well, from my point of view, is John's, that it's terribly easy for a group like this one socialized as almost all of us have been, to get terribly excited about instruction and the organization of materials and of ideas that begin to look terribly familiar, despite the fact that they're patterned in rather novel kinds of ways. And unless there's a genuine kind of attention to learning as a process superordinate to teaching, and unless there's a genuine kind of respect, which ordinarily has been conspicuous, not by its opposite, but simply by its essence, for the kinds of learnings and the kinds of drives that students bring with them to college, particularly currently, there could be a very exciting sort of superstructure that rests not on sand, but on nothing at all, so far as the mission of this college is concerned. And that kind of openness for people primarily concerned with learning designates more than students to follow their own bent in a reasonably disciplined and increasingly sophisticated way, then it would seem to me that there's been a considerable erosion of the basic evergreen idea in favor of manipulations that are attractive and easy, but not necessarily facilitating both the kinds of
ends that lots of people were thinking of when this place was first founded. This conference, I think, has been a long way toward helping us remember these kinds of considerations. For that, I'm more than grateful.
Thank you all for your participation. Let's knock off.